Welcome back to our oldie but goodie listeners, and welcome to all of our new followers and listeners. Our goal here on the Bossy Jabbypreneur podcast is to provide business, spiritual, and empowerment tools and resources to help aspiring professional Muslim women and female thought leaders to realize their full potential without the need to diminish who they are or who they show up as in the world. Our guest today is Lena Muhammad, and she is encouraging us to do just that. Her passion for activism and the justice system have grown exponentially in the last 2 years. Her focus is on mainstream media and is generally prejudiced portrayal of minority groups such as African Americans, women, and Muslims. Sounds a lot like what we do around these parts, doesn't it, guys? Her goal is to deconstruct stereotypes of Muslims through interfaith work with Christians and Jews. I'm going to say that again. Her goal is to deconstruct stereotypes of Muslims through interfaith work with Christians and Jews. I think it's phenomenal. It's important for folks to raise their voices and amplify others. What I don't think people realize is how our intersectionalities can negatively or positively affect our experiences. I'm excited to get into this episode because we need to have more proactive conversations about how we can individually contribute to curing some of society's ills. So I love that you use the word passion in your description. So just to get us going, first of all, assalamu alaikum, Lena. Thank you so much. Thank you for so much to agreeing to be on the podcast. So just tell the listeners a little bit more about ourselves. And just to tee it up real quick, we are on the NYU campus. So you guys will hear a little bit of some background noise. We are official tissue here. We are in the building. So again, welcome, Lena. Just tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do. What are you passionate about? All that good stuff.
Yeah. So, first off, thank you for having me, Sister Lena. This really means a lot, especially on my campus. And it's kind of funny because everybody around me is here and like they're watching from a distance. So it's hard not to say hi.
Yeah, but that's all right. Listen, we're going to go with the flow. If you need to give them salam, say hi. Yeah, go ahead and do you, boo. Do you.
So, yeah. But thank you again. And back to the question of passion. Mm-hmm. Can you reiterate that question number again?
Sure. So just tell me a little bit about yourself and just, you know, what you're passionate about.
Yeah. So, I mean, like with that intro, kind of explain a little bit. But my main passion is kind of really helping, you know, what media is showing us and showing the truth behind it, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the times you'll see in the media, you know, showing Muslims a certain way, like being terrorists. And same with women and women of color, specifically something I identify as being a Muslim and a woman of color. You know, here I am growing up, I had a lot of issues with, like, my identity and something I still struggle with till this day, I think. And, like, being able to find the true meaning of who I am, not from the media, but rather from the works of other people who've been around me, people who've mentored me, who've showed me around. And so through that, I think that's my biggest inspiration in kind of doing this work and continuing this work. So I'm not doing anything new. I think what I'm doing is just kind of recreating and reconstructing things that have been done in the past.
And I guess my next question would be, like, why do you think it's important to have this conversation? Like, what, you know, like, I'm sure a lot of people have their own opinion, but I want to kind of get your opinion and just your view on it. Why is this type of work important, like, right now in 2019 going into 2020?
Great question. Why are we still talking about it and it's 2019? That's the real thing. You know, we've been through a lot, and sometimes the Muslim voice is not amplified enough, and sometimes we have to go on and go in spaces that might make people uncomfortable, and that's okay. Like, I think I'm all about talking about the things that are taboo or talking about the things we don't talk about because we might feel that's not culturally appropriate or whatever it is. But I want to make those spaces where it's okay to talk about these things and have these conversations, not just with Muslims, but particularly with Christians and Jews alike, because, I mean, end of the day, you know, these are the people that are going to help us portray our mission.
Or they're
like
our allies.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And so, especially in a space like this in NYU, specifically where, you know, here at the Islamic Center, this is the space is shared by many people who are both Muslim, Christians, Jews, you know, and this is a very interfaith-based community. And I think that's what I like a lot about this particular community, and this is why I call it home, because mm-hmm. I've been in spaces where it's just Muslims and there's only one way to do it, mm-hmm. and if you go any other way, then you're completely wrong. There's mm-hmm. only way, one way of Islam, mm-hmm. and there's no other way, you mm-hmm. know? So, but this space kind of helps us kind of expand that idea. There's not just one way to do things.
And I think, like, I love what you just said, because I think what happens is like, I think sometimes you have to go out to be able to come back in and to have an appreciation for what you have. Mm. Like, I need to go out and figure, you know, find out, you know, ask some questions of some of our Jewish allies, ask some questions of some of our Christian allies. Because let's face it, we're Muslim. We're studying the Quran. We're not studying the Torah, and we're not studying, you know, the Bible necessarily, unless, you know, that's your major, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's important for us to open up that dialogue too. And I think one of the things that I like about this conversation and just this talk track is that religion as a whole is under attack. So it doesn't matter what your belief system is. If you believe in some type of deity or power that is not, you know, you know, what's accepted, you're kind of an outcast anyway. So if we think about it, churches, mosques, and the synagogues have been under attack recently, not only physically, but also in the media. So I think that your conversation is really important. So I want to just dive a little bit deeper and find out how will you use the Interfaith Alliance to deconstruct the stereotypes? Is there a particular methodology? Are you kind of, you know, going at it as you go? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I wouldn't say personally I have a method or a system, you know, I haven't really figured it out. But what I do know is, I know one thing, I'm really good at talking to people, and whether that's a Muslim, a Christian, or just anyone, and being able to relate to people, I think that's something I've kind of slightly been gifted in that sense. And so just having that conversation, I think, is really important, and just sitting down and, just talking to people, I think, and your character. I think character is the biggest thing that we always underrate, you know. Sometimes we're like, oh, we have to tell them this is how to do Islam, this is how we pray five times a day. Why don't you just show your character, and that
embody
alone
it
will have people be like, huh, that's interesting, they do that, that's really cool of them, that's really awesome. Like, you know, because I love Lena because of her characters, I love Islam because she embodies that.
Who was the fighter that was just fighting? And he kind of talked about that. I forget his name.
Fighter.
I think he's MMA or something like that.
The.
You know what I'm talking about. He's young too, which makes me
Muslim
love
guy,
it even
right?
more. Yes. I forget his name.
He's from Russia.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, mashallah. We forgot his name, but mashallah.
That's so
like,
bad. People are going to correct us though. Yes,
are.
I know
okay,
he's a big
okay.
star.
Yes, but what I love about him is that it's exactly what he said. He said, you know, they're not, you know, judging the religion. They're judging you. They're watching you. And so how they view Islam will be because of Lena, will be because of Halima, not necessarily because of, hey, I went and opened the Quran today, and this is, you know, what
this
it's
is
supposed
what they
to be
said.
About.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Same with, like, with Muhammad Salah, we can say the same thing.
Yes.
Or, you know, just different things like that. So just character. I think character at the end of the day, we're not... but yeah, character I think is number one for sure.
Okay, mashallah, mashallah. So we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with our guest, Lena Muhammad. All right, so one of the reasons why I reached out to you for the episode is because you have recently done like a lot of traveling. So I want to ask you, you know, with our talk track, with everything that you're starting or you're looking to kind of amplify, how has the travel impacted the way you view the world or even just your topic and what you're passionate about?
It's a really great question. You know, recently I've been doing a lot of reflecting on, you know, the trips that I've been going on.
Tell me some of the places. What are some of the places?
So, yeah, I've been privileged enough to go to, I was just in Tunisia. I was in Palestine, Egypt, as well as I was studying a little bit in Abu Dhabi for a bit there. And then I was also in Oman, Lebanon. And then I did some of the European countries as well as Greece. I worked some refugee work there.
Mashallah.
And then, you know, Germany, the Netherlands and France and just a couple other places. There's just a few other places, I'm sure. But I think as a whole, so yeah, as a whole, it's been quite a journey. And you know, there's this really, really great quote that I really love, and I don't remember the exact words, but it was just a matter of like, once you've tasted the world, it's really hard to just live like this normal life knowing what else is happening in the rest of the world, you know. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to just live this simple life of like, oh, I'm not sure, you know, the other world and what's going on, and we always think like, this is it, this is the only world there is. Mm-hmm. And then you go out and you're like, wow, there's people that live that way, that's crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. There's another life outside of this that we know. Mm-hmm. And I think before going in, I had absolutely no expectations. I had no clue what I was getting myself into. It was 9 months of just kind of like solo traveling, volunteering, doing different type of work. And I think coming out of it, I was, you know, it was surreal. It was just very surreal. Mm-hmm. A lot of emotions, you know, and it just showed me there's so many different type of people out there in the world. And there's so many, and not just through physique, not little physique, but just in general, in a sense of like, how people treat others or how people react to certain ways, you know. We're known of this like Western idea, this Western culture of like, this is how you react when you're mad, or this is how you react. But there's certain ways when you go in the Eastern side of the world, how things are placed basically. Mm-hmm. And I think, especially seeing the refugee work, I think that was probably the most remarkable thing, the most inspirational thing for me, at least while going there and doing that work, was it was hard, I think, leaving. And, you know, like, how do you sleep at night now? Like, how do I sleep at night knowing that there are people out there who literally need help? And, you know, as cliche as that sounds, it really is that. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's mm-hmm. definitely hard.
And I think just to tie that, first of all, you know, the mind once expanded can never retract. Mm. I love that. And that sounds like exactly what happened with you.
Yeah.
The other thing too that I just kind of wanted to touch on is you talking about, you know, how do I go to sleep now knowing that there are people in the world that are starving? There are people in the world that are going through all these things. One of the things that I always like our listeners to think about is that while we're living in this dunya, while we're living in this world, mm-hmm. we still have a responsibility for caring for our fellow Muslims, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so that's what you're doing. And so, yeah. You know, do you think that, you know, with the work that you've done and, you know, just seeing how other people live and wanting to be self-sacrificing to be able mm-hmm. to help those people, because that's where you are at right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you think that that has amplified your desire to change the perception in media? Because I think people don't know that one of the tenets of Islam is volunteering.
Yeah.
Social justice work, volunteering, that you are embodying that, like mm-hmm. the last year of your life, if not before,
yeah.
you're embodying that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the last year because that's what I've watched.
Yeah.
That's what I've witnessed, mashallah.
Yeah.
So, tell me, like...
I mean, like, it's one thing to give charity, you know, and that's part of our five pillars of Islam, of course, but mm-hmm. like it's another to actually physically give charity in that sense, like you're Mashallah. Serving time is a lot. And you know, coming, like for me personally, I didn't come from a family with a lot of money, so charity was a big part of our life, although we ourselves like were in need of money as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times it was really hard to give back. So you know, my mom always taught me, like, serve time. If you can't give money, just serve some time,
Mashallah.
You know. And so we would do that, whether it was going to a soup kitchen, whether it was you know, going out and feeding the homeless occasionally, mm-hmm. or whatever it is, just do something rather than nothing, right? You mm-hmm. know. And I feel like, you know, I've worked in the refugee communities and populations here in the United States, and mm-hmm. you know, I've worked as a paralegal and, like, you know, helped with asylum seekings. But it's different when you're actually there,
yeah.
you know? It's very different, and mm-hmm. it makes you go, oh my God, you guys don't know what's going on. Like,
yeah.
they're only showing you one side of it. There's mm-hmm. so much more, mm-hmm. and I want to be I want to tell their story. So, like, my job isn't really, like, I don't want to be the voice of, for example, Syrian refugees or
right.
Palestinians who are struggling in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give them the platform, you know, and I want to give them that space.
Girl,
But I don't want to be their voice because that's not my place or my, you know, I don't have that right.
You can never tell their story. You exactly. would never be able to do their story justice. Exactly. You could live there for 40,000 years and you still
exactly.
wouldn't have
their
any idea.
Their struggle and my struggle has similarities, but it'll never be the same, right? Yeah. And same with me as a Black woman. No one can tell my story.
Yeah.
Because that's my story. I want to give them that space and that ability to share that, mm-hmm. you know? So that's kind of like after that trip, because I think beforehand I was all about, you know, I'm going to go protest. I'm going to mm-hmm. go speak up for mm-hmm. Palestinians. I'm going to go speak up for refugees. Mm-hmm. But yet I didn't really know what they wanted me to say. Like, I was getting all this information, what was media was feeding me. Mm-hmm. And then I got there and they were mm-hmm. like, no, we're cool with what it is. We just want this instead. So and I'm like, huh. So mm-hmm. I was going in with an assumption, you mm-hmm. know,
a preconceived, you know, notion and just not knowing.
Not mm-hmm. knowing things. And that's, you know, that's partly just me being ignorant, mm-hmm. but it's not like of evil, you know, it's just yes. like a matter of just not having the right resources. And mm-hmm. who are those resources? The people, right? Getting yes. it from the first source. And, you know, giving that opportunity, like I always tell people, I recommend them, if you have that opportunity to go out and, you know, go to those places and be able to hear the stories of the people, do it. Don't ever doubt your abilities or don't ever feel like, oh, it's not my place to go and do that. I think it's important for all of us to use that, because I don't think it's something that everybody, it's a privilege. It truly is a privilege. Like what I did and being able to travel, I mean, that's a privilege. I don't think that's something that everybody can do.
No.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And Allah gave it to you for a reason. Like, you know, he gave you that experience and he gave it to you when he gave it to you, because I think you came back just listening to you and just, you know, mm-hmm. so we communicate outside of this podcast, mashallah, you know, here and there. But you seem to come back with like this renewed like drive. Like mm-hmm. it's really like, you know, a fire has been lit.
Yeah.
Under you. So I'm excited, you know, for that. We saw each other during Eid.
Yes.
And you
yes.
were talking about this and we were like, we've got to connect. So it took us all the way from Eid, y'all. And I'm not talking about the second Eid. I'm talking about the first one. Okay. to get her on this podcast. But mashallah. So alhamdulillah. Exactly. So if I had to, I have to ask you two questions. And, you know, we like to incorporate faith into all of our, you know, episodes. Is there a particular ayah of Quran, a hadith, or something like that that is like your fave or something that's like your go-to?
Yeah. Wow, it's like hit me, right? I would say I think personally something recently that I've been going through is after all this traveling is coming back through this like mid-depression kind of thing of like after traveling, and it's quite normal.
It's a high.
Through a high and then you kind of just like, you're like, what do I do now? And so I think I kind of faced a lot of hardships that I guess I didn't realize were going to come my way, or mm-hmm. didn't plan it the way mm-hmm. I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And so the ayah that I kept repeating in my head, or the hadith actually that I kept repeating in my head, is like, with hardship comes ease. And, you know, growing up, I've heard this so many times, mm-hmm. but I've never realized, there's two meanings to this hadith that I've realized actually. So there's where it sounds like, you know, with hardship later comes something good, right? Mm-hmm. But also, there's another part that I've started opening
up
my head.
I'm getting goosebumps, you guys. You guys can't see me, but go ahead, sis.
Yeah, is that with that hardship, there is ease to it. So it's not
there's ease in it.
It's in it. And growing up, I always thought the ease came after the hardship. I had to go through that pain to get the happiness or that goodness. But then I was like, wow, although I'm struggling, you know, it's not bad. There mm-hmm. is some kind of rahmah. Like, Allah has rahmah in it. So,
yes.
you know, they always say, Allah always, like, there's also, they're saying, like, Allah gives the hardest test to his, you know, his believers, like,
yes.
his strongest believers. Mm-hmm. And it's to see if you still have that faith to come back and still, mm-hmm. like, you still, even with everything that's happening, you still are able to say, alhamdulillah. And I think that's, this test made me realize, okay, you know what? this is bad, but it could be a lot worse. It could be a lot worse.
So,
yeah, I think that Hadith really opened up a different door for me that I never, ever, ever, like, looked at a different perspective.
Mashallah, yeah. Mashallah. Let me tell you something, you guys. I am so empowered and just, you know, just invigorated by this next generation. You guys, like, let me tell you something. You know, we trailblaze the way, my generation, but this generation that's coming behind us, woo, you guys are in for some amazingness, mashallah. So if you had to, you know, express what the perfect world, a perfect world looked like in doing the work that, you know, you're doing, you know, all your goals, everything that you, you know, you envision, you know, if it, when it manifests, I won't say if, when it manifests,
inshallah.
Ameen, right? You know, what will the world look like?
God, a perfect world, man. You know, like, I try to avoid thinking in such a, this utopia thought process, right? But I think we're getting close to something, you know? I can feel it, and I feel like maybe not in my generation, maybe not in my time, but in the next time. And I feel that there is some good change coming in. But, you know, the perfect world would look a lot like a place where there's this idea of, like, unison, I would say.
Mashallah, yes.
Where, you know, like, I'm not saying every, like, people will come in a sense of, like, no stereotypes, right? Like, this idea, like, I'm going to talk to you because I want to talk to you. I'm going to get to know you because I want to get to know you. Not because, you know, what I see in the media or what I see in, in my, like, in my Instagram, whatever it is. It's a place where people can come together and collaborate. I think collaboration is something we're lacking.
Absolutely.
And I think we're coming back to it, though. I feel like this generation is coming to the idea of, like, not creating things, but already recreating something that's already been created, right? I think that's a lot
and just
more
enhancing it.
Exactly, exactly. And so being able to come together and say, hey, me and you are different, and there are some things I don't agree with you, but I want to work with you, and I want to make a better place, you know, and that idea. Like, a perfect place for me isn't, like, sunshines and butterflies, and we're all living this perfect place.
Yes.
But I think it's being able to communicate with people better, understand human beings better, and come with an open mind. Like, you don't have to agree with everybody and everything they say, but being able to be like, I don't agree with you, but I understand where you're coming from.
Alhamdulillah. It's almost like, I forget, I'm not sure if this is a hadith, where this comes from, but it says, to you be your way and to me be mine. I believe it's a surah. It comes from a surah. I think it's in Kafirun, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So to you be your way and to me, you know, be mine. And so I think that, you know, we need to really embody that because there's so much love in that.
Yeah.
So much love in me, you know, coming to you. You know, say if we, you know, we come to one of our Jewish allies or our Christian allies. Hey, I don't worship the same as you, but, you know, I have a vested interest in, you know, seeing you do well. And I don't want anything, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily that I want something in return. I just want for my brother what I want for myself. That's
exactly,
my only interest
exactly.
in seeing you thrive and your community thrive and all that good kind of stuff.
And
you know?
Also, I mean, like, lastly, one thing to add to that, now that I think about it. It's always like, you know, always think the best of people.
Yes.
Not always make that assumption. Oh, I saw that sister at this place that she shouldn't be. She must be blah, blah, blah. And so I feel like sometimes we make these assumptions again and think the worst of people. And I think, you know, there's always another side to the story that we just don't know or we don't see. And so I think if we're able to go in a space and be like, I don't know why she was there or why he was doing that, but I'm gonna assume the best of someone.
Mashallah, I'm gonna tell you, you summed up last week's khutbah and this week's khutbah and everything that you just said. The imam, he was talking about both of those things.
Yeah.
You know, he was talking about, you know, thinking the best of someone and not making assumptions. And then today, you know, he was just talking about, you know, what can we do? You know, what can we do as, you know, individuals to be able to, you know, amplify our community or to, you know, just do better, you know, for our community. So with that being said, what are two tips you would give someone that's looking to enter into your field or that has, you know, an interest in what you're doing? So do you have you declared like a major?
Yeah.
So what's your major?
I'm in my last, not even year, my last semester in my degree. So inshallah, I should be getting my degree very, very soon. So yeah, I'm studying psychology, but in particular in trauma. So trauma coming in from places, war-torn areas, particularly in Rohingya and Syria and places like that, and seeing how it affects within childhood and women as well. So that's kind of my field of interest, right? But also I venture out from there and I do a lot of things. I'm a very artistic person. So really to ask, like, in my field, it's very hard because I do a lot.
You're creative.
Yeah, and so for me, there isn't, like, I wouldn't say there's this one lane, but I think a tip that I would tell someone, especially someone who is kind of indecisive, unsure of what they want, or they have multiple interests, is find a rhythm, find your beat, and create something out of it, right? You don't need to go in and be like, oh, no one else is doing that. Well, okay, maybe be the reason to do it then. Maybe that's the reason, right?
Without a doubt.
You know, going in, I knew I wanted to do psychology, but I also knew I wanted to do, you know, did certain things with writing and helping women. How can I bring all that together? And I, you know, you do have to sit down and think for a bit, but, like, it's not crazy. Those thoughts are not crazy, you know, to have multiple interests. You can't, you don't have to narrow it down and pick one thing, right? And so the more creative I think you are, you know, the more opportunities, because we're going into this new world of, like, different jobs and careers are coming out that, like,
and
no one has ever heard.
Even.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, a lot of people are not even looking to go into, you know, a career as, you know, working for a company. They're looking to focus on a particular topic or cause.
Yeah.
And they're just going with, you know, that. Your generation is a man.
Yeah.
You guys don't work for a company past 2 years. Like,
yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah,
you guys will,
yeah,
you know,
true.
You'll do an amazing job 2 years and you're like, oh, I'm out the door. 24 months. Let's get out of here. Let's get the ball rolling somewhere else. So that's truly, truly, truly amazing. I love that you said that you don't have to, you know, choose just one. Mashallah. Yeah. So how can we support you on your mission? Like, you know, what, you know, can we follow you? I know the way we connected was on IG. So what's the best platform for them to connect with you? And is there a particular cause that you're interested in that they can support?
Again, amazing question. But I'd say for me, my biggest platform that I use is Instagram, of course. Same way, like, Matt, of course. But, you know, with my Instagram, what I try to do is kind of show a very raw version of, like, I guess really documenting my life, right? You know, and sometimes I'm not afraid to post some crying videos of me talking about how angry I am with the guy on the subway who was, you know, mansplaining this woman or whatever it is. You know, I'll document things, like, right there, right then. And some people like it and some people don't like it, you know? And for me, like, I just want to show the truth. I don't care to do this aesthetic vibe or this, like, very artsy vibe. Although I like to think my Instagram is somewhat artsy.
It is.
Yeah, it's not my main mission, of course. So I use that as, like, a true platform. And I love supporting my friends. So I don't have a particular org or NGO that I currently am like, oh my God, yes, yes, yes. I'm still trying to find the right balance. That's 100% proceeds go to the, you know, people in need.
Yes.
But what I do is I let people message me and DM me, and I've checked my DMs very regularly. And, you know, if they have something they're doing that's really cool, an event, or they have an organization, I would love to support and use that platform, because I do have a large platform and I want to utilize that, you know.
And you almost have a responsibility. I think one of the cool things, I feel you're an influencer. And you're an influencer not only for your generation, but you're also, you know, giving a voice for those three intersectionalities that you talked about.
Yeah.
You know, Muslims, women, and, you know,
women of color. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that that's truly important. And I love the way that you use, you know, your platform. I also love that you're into fashion. Like, that's another thing. I feel like, you know, with this, with our audience, like, we're fierce. You know what I mean? So, you know, we look the part. Okay,
style is a big thing for me.
It's
huge. It's a big thing. As much as, like, right now, you guys can't see, but I'm wearing an abaya because I'm coming from work. But for me, like, fashion week and documentation, photography, that's, like, you know, another form of art that I really, really am passionate about. And yeah, so I'm not saying, like, you have to pick one or the other. That's something, mm-hmm. that's the thing. You can be active, you can be an activist, you can be an influencer, but also be into music or do this and that, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love the fashion world. I love it.
I love it. So mashallah, please give us your IG handle and we are gonna get on out of here.
Yes, thank you so much. And mm-hmm. I had a great time with this.
You got it. What's your IG name?
Yes, yeah, so my IG is Lena mm-hmm. AAA_MOEEE.
So, yeah. You've got it. So yeah. We are going to make sure that we put that link in the description. And please, as always, make sure that you hit that like button and also subscribe to our channel here on whatever platform you decide to download this podcast episode. So I'll talk to you guys soon. Peace. Assalamu alaikum. Bye.